Thank you for listening to the Goyi International Podcast. I am your host, Aaron Brackeen. You can learn more about Goyi International by using www.goyi.mysite, that's mysite.com, and my email, aaron.brackeen@live.com. Those links are available on this website, www.goyiinternational.podomatic.com. Please feel free to share these links, post comments, and make contact. May the Lord guide your heart into the love of God and the patient waiting for Jesus Christ. Now let's continue this episode of the Goyi International Podcast. A conscience of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the time of year in the United States of America that is a special occasion for most Americans. This essay is not about the history of this uniquely American holiday, even though many Americans do not know about the significance of Squanto and the first celebration of Thanksgiving. In addition, a commentary about the first Thanksgiving observance delivered by George Washington is not what follows. This essay for a Christian consciousness is about the characteristic and attitude of Thanksgiving from examples found in the Bible. It has been my observance during 3 of my nearly 4 decades that people in general have room to improve in the area of giving thanks. I recognize the need in myself, a need to improve my attitude of thanksgiving even more since the Comforter has elucidated some inspirational, instructional, and imperative content pertaining to a heart of thanks. The traditional saying of grace before a meal is, interestingly enough, not a proclamation of thanks. It goes something like this: Bless us, O Lord, through these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. It sure sounds nice, although there's not a thank you in there. This is not mentioned to stop people from praying before meals, or any other time for that matter. However, it is included to get people to think. Did I just thank God, or am I really thanking God? Believe it or not, there are people who profess to be thankful, but in the witness of scriptures there is material to disclose the true nature of such a confession. A conscience of entitlement may be the actual case. Considered in this essay are 3 aspects of thankfulness: the inspirational, the instructional, and the imperative lessons for developing and maintaining a conscience of thanksgiving. The inspirational portions reveal the degree of thanksgiving expressed by biblical figures known for thankfulness. The instructional passages in the Holy Scriptures are examples of certain thanklessness, of the consequences for individuals and nations that dissimulate proper thanksgiving or wane from it, and of those who epitomize thankfulness. The imperative proclamations regarding acceptable thanksgiving and its format in God's Word are set forth as our guide. May new thanksgiving permeate the attitudes of all who encounter this well beyond an annual holiday, and hereafter experience a conscience of thanksgiving.
All creation sings His wonders, His glories now proclaim. Earth and heaven bow before Him at the power of His name. For He rules all the universe from His mighty throne above. Yet He with a never-ending love. Unto Him we lift our songs, for He is holy and righteous and worthy of our praise. We will sing our alleluias to our God, the Ancient of Days. We will join creation's
The Holy Bible contains voluminous entries about thanks in various forms. of those verses, the inspirational portions reveal the degree of thanksgiving expressed by biblical figures known for thankfulness. I start with King David. On a momentous occasion in the nation of Israel, we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren." Anyone who knows anything about David knows he was a prolific writer of psalms. Most of those were set to music. This can be read in certain Bibles that include the beginning information before a certain psalm. David was thorough in his thanksgiving because of the elaborate experiences he had with God. Of all the drama he encountered, some his fault and some from others, David never seemed to lose his sagacity of thanksgiving, though he did in other aspects. That takes a certain state of mind, a humble state of mind. He was an Israeli monarch enthralled with a majestic perspective concerning a different potentate than himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as documented by Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. The exuberance David lived was the foundation by which he, through the highs and through the lows, exhibited substantial thanksgiving, Psalm chapter 136 being just one example. In addition to the perspective he had, David must have been sentient of the work God did in his life. Beyond being king of Israel, surely with head and heartaches, David related to his walk with God on a different level, unlike that of royalty he was privy to. Perhaps this is one reason God took such notice of David. Through his brilliance and blunders, a conscience of thanksgiving was evident in this person. Remember, David's home life was anything but pristine. I'm referring to his home life while king, not as a child. He had issues with women to his own fault, an out-of-control son who forced a relative, a rebellious son who attempted usurping David's regal authority, dead children, and enemies galore, to name a few. David was a man's man, in some not-so-good ways, of course. Therein is the inspiration pertaining to David. All the evil a person experiences is no reason to cast away a conscience of thanksgiving. Daniel, the prophet, is another intriguing person in the Bible. This essay isn't the place for an exhibition of how Daniel ended up where he was. Simply, he was in exile, and the passage I'm about to include concerns the eve of his scheduled execution. The king of Babylon wanted answers for his mysterious dreams, and the soothsayers were being cut in pieces if they couldn't give a confirmatory interpretation. Daniel was being lumped in with all artificial truth-tellers. So, he prayed, and God answered. Here is that inspirational portion. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Notice the fervency of Daniel's thank you to God. Compare that to the typical anemic squeak offered by those of us in far less jeopardy than Daniel found himself. We may never be in his shoes, needing a need-it-yesterday kind of answer from God, or else die. Nonetheless, we should not let the magnitude of our situation stifle the abundant affirmations of thankfulness. Situations aside, a ready array of thanksgiving will sprinkle forth if a conscience of thanksgiving is present. Turning our attention to another inspirational passage, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, records that Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." This isn't the only instance of the thanks offered by Lord Jesus. However, this one is quite different from any other. Verses 16 through 24 set the context for verse 25. This one captures my attention because Lord Jesus is thanking Holy Father for his work, a work that makes liberal, itching ear apostates cringe. Oh yes, boys and girls, God reveals things to those who are less than the inflated sophist, with mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Jude chapter 1, verse 6. This is another predicament that ecclesiastical elites are in, even though they don't readily recognize it. They don't thank God for his complete nature, his wondrous acts. They have concocted a contemporaneous divinity that is on par with the mythological Santa Claus, who is only congenial and inviting. They have made their God after their image, an image no less fallible than those who made it. Apostle Paul tells it like this: "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Romans chapter 1 verses 21 through 23. Lord Jesus was consumed with glorifying God and would not dare impugn the perfect character of God. Rather, he thanked his Father for revealing truth to babes and hiding it from the self-proclaimed wise and prudent. How is that for being thankful? This is straight from the loving Lord Jesus. Having a correct understanding of God's character, his complete character, is necessary to steer free of heresy and, like Lord Jesus, maintain a conscience of thanksgiving, being assured we have not communicated a false God. In that mostly overlooked inspirational passage, we find Lord Jesus keeping with giving thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It does not end there. The 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, and wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Even though that scene is in the future, God's creative works, constant character, and consistent dealings with us are more than adequate to inspire a conscience of thanksgiving. It is apparent to me that the problem is not in finding things for which to be thankful, especially as it pertains to the Creator. I think the problem for the lack of genuine expressions of thanks is found in something much worse, a natural, sinful tendency. Instructional passages in the Holy Scriptures are examples of certain thanklessness, of the consequences for individuals and nations that dissimulate proper thanksgiving or wane from it, and of those who epitomize thankfulness. Whether using the Old or New Testament, the principles remain the same. For whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. What's to hope for in that? Avoiding the bad examples of what leads to thanklessness is the hope. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. These examples are necessary to compare what is and isn't genuine thanks to ensure a conscience of thanksgiving. First up is the one named Self with the surname Righteous. We read about self-righteous in a lesson taught by Lord Jesus. There is much more to this story than thanks, but this is the element in view. Notice how self-righteous offers thanks to God in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verse 11. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now that is impressive. And he went on to say even more. Why cast doubt on a person who gives thanks? So discernment is made between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That's why. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Mr. Self-Righteous had many negative things going for him, dissimulated thanks not being the least. His artificial thanks only added to his existing corrupt character. However, Mr. Self-Righteous is not unlike many people, whether they be Jew or Gentile, religious or otherwise. Self-Righteous had the frame of mind to thank God for himself. Go back and read about Daniel and Lord Jesus when they said, I thank thee. It's not the same kind of thanks. That isn't thanks at all. It is merely the putrid emissions from someone who is clueless about God's majestic character and the consequences of the Lord God being a consuming fire. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. That lesson ends with Mr. Self-Righteous being unjustified and condemned. Something else about the nature of self-righteous can be learned because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. That insight helps us analyze the character of our thanks to God. What do we know about God? Recall the Lord's example of being thankful for the character and acts of God. Let's assume that we are on track with knowing the nature and character of this thrice holy God, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Do we glorify this uniquely supreme and magnificent deity? Both Daniel and Lord Jesus did during the course of their thanks. Mr. Self-Righteous did not. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 shows the result. Neither were they thankful. Erroneous views of God will consequently result in not glorifying God correctly or at all, resulting in unthankful lovers of their own selves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Therefore, Holy Spirit, skilled in renewing our minds, illuminates Jesus' life to draw us to Father. John chapter 15, verse 26. Do you see why Lord Jesus did not abscond or misrepresent God's character, unlike the heretical hounds, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, abounding in the 21st century Americananity? The God of the U.S. is not the one affirmed by Peter, Paul, Tabitha, Matthew, Luke, Mary, James, Jesus, Daniel, David, Deborah, Hannah, Moses, Abraham, nor anyone else in the Bible. According to those verses, the view a person has of self and of God determines the kind of acceptable or unacceptable thanks offered. Is the God you imagine and the God you thank high and lifted up, that doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? Job chapter 5, verse 9. Is the deity to whom you offer a heart of thanksgiving the one who knows the balancing of the clouds and has wondrous works perfect in knowledge? Job chapter 37, verse 16. Is it the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty? Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7. Unlike Mr. Self-Righteous, may we be comforted being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Twice in this essay, the hidden things of God have been mentioned. Thanks be to God. Those with ears to hear, let them hear. Here is another lesson in thanklessness. Israel is the prime example for so much of what not to do. The Lord God warned them through Moses about what would be the cause of becoming unthankful before they entered the promised land. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. More often than not, as was the case with Israel, prosperity brings about materialism, and materialism brings about a heart saying, "My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. That nation didn't take heed to Moses, or the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, "Lest I be full, and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord?" Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1 and 9. At the height of Israel's pride, God scolded them with a very telling association. "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, But thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou, yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 48 through 52. Now, if that isn't modern-day America and Israel, I don't know what is. The progression from acknowledgement of God to abundance, ending up as unthankful, is evident in more than those two nations. It is the story of humanity throughout history. It happens to individuals and nations alike. Instead of giving thanks, it is time spent decorating, having festivities, and exalting self. However, I'll move on to some good examples, since not all examples in God's Word are bad. Here is some positive hope from the Scriptures, yet challenging for even me. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? He had an additional occasion to die young because he was framed by those who frameth mischief by a law, Psalm chapter 94, verse 20, in whose hand is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes, Psalm chapter 26, verse 10. Politics still work the same way. Most of those listening to this will encounter their life-threatening den soon enough, that is, if you choose to obey. Daniel was committed to God. Never audacious, he cordially maintained his composure when the state was about to crush him with the force of a new law. That is the instructional content, although to me it is also inspirational while being imperative to learn. When faced with execution for practicing his faith, Daniel did not cower, compromise, or capitulate. He thanked his God in the course of his usual worship. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. That saint had a conscience of thanksgiving. If it was going to be the last time he prayed, he was determined to thank God one last time before his torturous death. Once again, there is Lord Jesus. In a conscience of obedience, I touched on the Lord's Passion. More about his obedience can be learned by considering A Conscience of Obedience, available as a free streaming podcast at www.goyeinternational.podomatic.com, with the associated text and audio files linked for free downloading. Pertaining to a conscience of thanksgiving, it was prior to that stressful night in the garden where Lord Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples, John chapter 18, verse 2. He had the capacity to remain thankful, knowing what he would endure a few hours later. With an abundance of desire, Luke chapter 22, verse 15, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." And likewise he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Luke chapter 22, verse 17 and 19. Between Daniel and Lord Jesus, we see a radically different attitude toward giving thanks. They lived what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's quite an exercise in maintaining a conscience of thanksgiving. The imperative proclamations regarding acceptable thanksgiving and its format in God's Word are set forth as our guide. Here's some fuel to encourage more thankfulness. When ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 100, verse 4. God should be thanked because you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, be ye careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, being rooted and built up in him and established in faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Be enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. And give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The inspirational, instructional, and imperative lessons for developing and maintaining a conscience of thanksgiving have been covered. Perhaps a new degree of thanksgiving will ignite in those who have encountered God's Word. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. As I renovate my inner space, I invite all who long for closeness with our risen Savior, the Lord our righteousness, to pursue a conscience of thanksgiving. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and always causeth us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
The servant drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall
this concludes this episode of the GOYI International Broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the GOYI International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyiinternational.mysite.com, and there you get further information by which you can write and or use other email and call. Also, GOYI International would like any kind of comments and feedback that you are willing to offer through the various means available on this website and otherwise, please make contact.